It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you for listening wherever you might be, East Coast, down south, Midwest, everything in between. Thank you to our producer in New York helping to hold things down on the boards, Chris Persiani. And thank you again to you for listening. You driving to work? Good. You leaving work? Terrific. You already at home? Good. You sick of your family, so you're listening to the radio? Terrific. Thank you for being here on the free Odyssey app. Thank you for listening on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. If you have SiriusXM, I appreciate you for listening on channel 375. And if you got a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, we got a basketball game going on right now. The Cleveland Cavaliers are not going quietly. The Indiana Pacers might lead the series 3-1, but as it stands right now, almost halfway through the second quarter, Cleveland leads 44-31. We'll keep you up to date as this game continues on. Donovan Mitchell is playing, and as it stands right now, Donovan Mitchell, despite having that busted up ankle, has 13 points. Later on tonight, we also have the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Denver Nuggets, who are tied at 2 games apiece. We've had plenty of news today in the world of sports, and we've talked about it all here on the JR Sport Brief Show. We learned it's official. Jason Tatum has a ruptured Achilles. He is out indefinitely. I don't need to explain, but I will. That means he ain't playing the rest of this series against the New York Knicks. He ain't going to be back at the beginning of the season come October. We have no idea whether or not he will be back next year in 2026. Well, 2025, 2026 season. All the best to Jason Tatum and the New York Knicks. I can't believe this. They got a 3-1 series lead. Wow. Crazy stuff. Things are going to be very different up in Boston. We also talked about Pete Rose and the fact that he is no longer on the commissioner's ineligible list. The fact that he passed away pretty much has now made him eligible to be involved with Major League Baseball. Now we have to see whether or not he ultimately gets into the Hall of Fame. Not so sure about that one. And thank you to Levi Weaver for joining us last hour from The Athletic to break it all down. Not only did we discuss everything going on with Pete Rose, but we've talked about some of the bigger issues in Major League Baseball right now. The Rockies, what are they doing? They don't even know what they're doing. And then, you know, talking about a guy like Aaron Judge getting into the San Francisco Giants, how they're shocking people. Even the fact that the Athletics, currently playing in Sacramento, damn it, they've gotten better. What a world. Anyway, you want to give me a holler, you can do that. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. How about this? In about 20 minutes, the big news from last night, the Dallas Mavericks ending up with the number one overall pick in next month's draft. We're going to be joined by Kevin Gray Jr., who covers the Dallas Mavericks for DLLS Mavs. And we're going to get his thoughts on what this means for the Mavs. I know their fans have to be happy, right? We got a full report that the Dallas Mavericks are not moving the pick. They're going to stick at number one. They're not going to make a dumb, stupid-ass decision like they did last time by moving on from Luka Doncic. And so apparently Cooper Flagg is going to be a member of the Dallas Mavericks. And so we'll have that conversation with Kevin Gray Jr. in about 20 minutes. One thing that we did discuss right before the break is the release of the NFL schedule. The NFL decides to make it a big to-do. We now have a primetime special. We've gotten some leaks as to what teams will be playing and where they will be playing. We have 5 countries outside of the United States of America that are going to host NFL action. And in the case of the Minnesota Vikings, they're going to be playing in 2 different countries. Yeah, they're right across from each other. We're talking about the Vikings playing in Dublin, Ireland, and then the very next week going out and playing in London, England. Proximity? Close. Short flight, hop, skip, and a jump, not even a hop. You make one hop, boom, you move from one country to the next. But the Vikings are going to be out there for about 2 weeks. We've seen the Jacksonville Jaguars play 2 games in the United Kingdom. And, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars have pretty much adopted the UK as their home away from home. Yeah, I guess that has a lot to do with Shad Khan, but why the hell a team in northeastern Florida would just say, hey, we're going to populate the United Kingdom has more to do with the team being ass over the years and needing fans than having anything to do with the UK. But the Minnesota Vikings are going to be doing some work. And I said, I got no problem. I got no issue with these teams going overseas. I think it's good for the game. I know the Atlanta Falcons, they'll be playing in Berlin, beautiful city. I may try to get my ass on out there. They'll be taking on the Indianapolis Colts. So I'm looking forward to that. Maybe I can get Hickey to go to Germany with me. Hey, Chris, sprechen Sie Deutsch?
No.
None? Okay. All right. I try.
Danke.
Thank you?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for what?
Asking.
In nine. Next
also,
time.
Also, I don't think you can get Hickey to go anywhere to see Daniel Jones.
Oh, well, I mean, between Daniel, it still might be Anthony Richardson at that point in time.
Got to see how early in the season it is. I mean.
Yeah. Well, he might be hurt by then. You're right, but yeah.
You see?
Yeah, he might be hurt by then. But the point that you made is that you're concerned of injury risk. And it. So, by the way, it's not, depending on where you're flying from, it's one thing, yes. If you are the Los Angeles Chargers and then you going out to play, and I don't know, it doesn't matter where you go to play, it's going to be far. I mean, if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars, if you're the New England Patriots, it's not that far. It's no different than, like, this is a terrible, I'm going to say terrible flight. You know what I hate doing, Chris? I don't care where it is here on the eastern side of the country. I'm not a fan of flying out to Seattle. I got no problem. Seattle is a beautiful place. I like it. It's cool. Like, I love Portland. It ain't all that far away. But I can't stand going to Seattle. Imagine being in Miami and flying to Seattle. It's no different for a lot of these teams than just jumping over the Atlantic Ocean. It's not that far.
Minnesota to Ireland nonstop is 7.5 hours. Now, even though that Atlanta to Seattle flight might feel like 7.5, it's only 5.5. I know we're nitpicking, right? We're splitting hairs, JR. But
what's the longest flight you've been on?
My father was born in Finland, and to see my grandparents, I've been there a couple times, so 9 hours.
Yeah, so you know that's not that far. Come on, man. You talk about nitpicking? That's not, another hour on a flight is nothing. Come on.
Fair. Yeah, I mean, right. I'm sure they got installs to watch. They got film to watch. You know, the time will go by.
Forget the time going. It's not that far, man. I've been on a plane for like a day and a half, you know, going to the other side of the world. And not that bad. And then they spend a good amount of time. They're used to being on planes. It's just, what's another couple hours? No big deal. Now, I did look up potential injury risk. Now, you take this with a grain of salt because it is coming from the NFL. This is a league. This is an organization that has pretty much said, oh, yeah, head injuries, what head injuries? And they've had to pay out hundreds of millions of dollars as a result. The NFL operations say that there has been no consistent increase in injury rates for teams that participate in international games. Now, from the player's perspective, they have said, hey, Tottenham Hotspur, great for football. Maybe not the greatest thing in the world when it comes down to us playing football. I mean, we can go back to the Eagles and the Green Bay Packers playing in Brazil last year. There were a lot of concerns just in that game as they opened up the season about the conditions of the grass. We saw Jordan Love also have, I believe it was his thigh or his groin. And so, yeah, there's always concerns. Damn it, the NFL had concerns. Chris, do you remember? Not this past season, but last Super Bowl, where everybody was complaining about how slick and wet the grass was, and was it paint? Was it cut too high? Remember that?
Absolutely. It was like everyone was finally getting to see what it's like to be a MetLife.
Oh, my God. Oh, well, yeah. The Jets and Giants are just everybody. Well, the opposition gets their legs eaten up alive playing at that stadium. But
the monster, it's there. It's underneath the turf.
Is it the monster or okay? Does it have a name? I thought it was Jimmy Hoffa.
No, I was gonna say maybe Fellow Fordham Ram Vince Lombardi couldn't give up the football, so he hung around MetLife. Maybe that's where he chose. I don't know that he'd be injuring guys, though. That doesn't sound like Vince.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You've been reading too much science fiction. Okay. That wouldn't be a bad book, though, right? I don't know. What does he do? Travel from the Bronx, and then he just eats people up at MetLife? Is that how it goes?
I think the MetLife turf monster probably has a full-time residency at MetLife. I think there's too much going on back and forth from stadium. You know how traffic gets in New Jersey.
Okay. Yeah. I don't envy. I don't miss it at all. Yeah. Injuries, we'll see. I love the NFL action overseas. I think it's good. Good for the game. Good to grow it out. And at the same time, I think it does give an opportunity for the fan bases here in the United States of America to kind of branch out as well. I can't tell you how many people I've seen and read and heard about saying, hey, I'm going to Germany. I'm going to Berlin. And I think that's absolutely cool for people to go out and broaden their horizons as well. Unfortunately, there's an inherent risk in playing in the NFL that you're going to get hurt. And it could be in Brazil. It could be in Cincinnati, or it could be in Dublin, Ireland. You play a game where you're rocket launching your body all over the place, you are certainly going to feel it. And that's any sport. I mean, we've seen all these injuries just in basketball. Certainly not a physical sport in the way that football is. But, man, the running, the jumping, the cutting. And these injuries are just terrible in the NBA right now, especially when you get down to the postseason. I mean, for all the talk and conversations over the years about load management, there's not one specific answer. Are the players not working out enough? Are they not gearing their bodies up for the action in the postseason? And by the time they get here, they're worn out and gassed? Or are they working too hard? I don't think it's the latter. Are these guys too big? Are they too fast? Are they too strong? We haven't got that answer yet. You know, we learned earlier today about Jason Tatum and his ruptured Achilles. I don't know the legitimacy of it or not, but I did see a video clip that showcased him kind of, you know, stretching out that ankle, stretching out that leg area right before he went down and right before the action started. And the next thing you know, it popped. We saw what took place with Damian Lillard, a more smaller, diminutive guard. This guy was dealing with his own issue with the blood clotting. He came back, tried to push it. He's done. It unfortunately goes on and on. And guys are suffering for it. Like, this is the worst time. Who wants to see anybody go down? I mean, yesterday it was a whole conversation about Giannis being open to leave Milwaukee. Would he be open to leaving if Damian Lillard was balling out? Probably not. A matter of fact, this is what Giannis had to say after Damian Lillard had his own injury, and who knows when we'll see Lillard back. Listen to Giannis.
Obviously, it's not what we wanted to go back to Milwaukee, and what, you know, hurts me the most. I don't care about losing the game and all that. I felt like we owed this game to Dame. You know, that's what I felt. I felt like he came back maybe earlier than what he's supposed to, went down, sacrificed his, you know, body for us. And I felt like as a team, win or lose, home or road, playoff game, no playoff game, like the least we can do is show up and win a game for Dame. Obviously, it hurts that we didn't win the game, but it hurts more that we wasn't able to win the game for Dame and go back to Milwaukee.
Yeah, man, come on. Now the season's over and Giannis might be going elsewhere. I mean, we talked about this with the Boston Celtics earlier on in the show. We have Tatum gone, and it's not just going to change the complexion of this series against the Knicks, which is likely going to be over. Man, they're going to have some changes that they'll have to do with their roster construction moving forward, knowing that you're likely going to miss him for the better part of a year. And Derek White, I mean, he plays with the guy. Last night, before we even got official word, we knew what it was. Derek White was just like, man, this sucks to know that Tatum is gone. That's my guy.
So you hate to see him go down, and like, we just know the type of guy he is, and it's tough to see him go down, but obviously right now it's pretty low because of the game, and we just got to find a way to win game 5.
Man, and then how about this one? How you, if Steph Curry officially been ruled out for tomorrow? Come on, man. This game, this series is done for the Golden State Warriors. I mean, Draymond Green, and he ain't no scorer. Jimmy Butler, he's not a pure scorer. He can certainly get hot. He's more of an all-around player who can carry you in certain cases. Jimmy Butler had 14 points last night. Draymond Green had 7 rebounds and 14 points and 2 assists. I guess he has less assists when he doesn't have Steph Curry to pass the ball to. And Steph Curry's dealing with an injury that he never had in a pulled hamstring. And this is what Draymond had to say last night about a potential Steph Curry return.
No, we're not going Superman this thing. If he's in a place where he could play, I'm sure he will. And him and Rick and everybody will figure that out. But we don't need Superman. Got to play the long game. If he can, we know he will, but there's no pressure. We got to figure out how to win, whether he play or not.
Yeah, we know Steph Curry is not playing tomorrow. He's been ruled out, and the Golden State Warriors, their season might be done as well. Yeah, injuries are just ripping everybody apart in the NBA. And this is the worst thing. You want to see the best out there versus the best. But in some cases, this is the nature of the beast. This is how the game goes. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We are going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, hey, everybody, sometimes you catch a lucky break. The Dallas Mavericks caught one last night when they were able to end up with the first overall pick in next month's NBA draft. We're going to have a chat with Kevin Gray Jr. from DLLS Mavs. Covers all things Dallas Mavericks. We'll get his thoughts on what will ultimately be the selection of Cooper Flagg. You can't make this up. From Luka to Cooper, it's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, right now, this minute, this second, we got one NBA game going on. We got the Cavaliers, and we have the Indiana Pacers. They're currently at halftime. Cavaliers lead Indiana 56 to 52. But last night, one of the biggest stories in the NBA, besides Tatum going down and everybody waiting on Steph Curry, he ain't coming back, it doesn't look like it, were the Dallas Mavericks ending up with the number one overall pick in next month's draft, despite entering into the draft lottery with a 1.8 chance to end up with that number one spot. They've never moved up in the history of the draft, and somehow, some way, last night, they end up at number one. People are yelling conspiracy this, conspiracy that. And Nico Harrison, let's just say he was thrilled with the opportunity to select Cooper Flagg. And it's been reported that that's what the Dallas Mavericks will do. To talk about how things are rolling and feeling in Dallas, right now joining us is someone who covers the Dallas Mavericks before the game, after the game, for the DLLS Mavs show, is Kevin Gray Jr. Kevin, how are you, man?
JR, good to talk to you again, man. How are you?
All the time. Well, how are you feeling, man? A little bit of a shock yesterday, huh?
Just a little bit. As you mentioned, a 1.8% chance of going from number 11 to number one, fourth lowest odds in draft lottery history, and the Mavericks pull off a shocker and now have a chance to capture the flag on June 25th. With the number one overall selection in this year's draft. So an unfathomable set of circumstances on how we got here, but yet this is how we got here.
Well, Kevin, it was real easy to understand when we spoke a few months ago after Luka was traded, how people were feeling in Dallas about Luka being sent to the Los Angeles Lakers. What is the overall feeling? It's easy to look online and just go, okay, people are saying this is rigged. What's the overall vibe for Mavericks fans right now, besides thank God we got something?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, we don't give a damn if it was rigged or not. We've got the damn chance to draft Cooper Flagg after having Luka Doncic been traded in the middle of the night to the Los Angeles Lakers without warning. Mavericks fans, for the most part, are excited about it because the season that they went through, the trade that obviously happened, then missing the playoffs entirely after reaching the NBA Finals a year ago. Mavericks fans have been through hell and back, and they feel like, hey, if it means that we get the chance to draft Cooper Flagg, even with the odds that we had going into the draft lottery, and we've got him, then so be it. Because in a lot of ways, Mavericks fans feel like that is what is deserved to them after what they've been through, for sure.
Kevin Gray Jr. is joining us, covers the Dallas Mavericks for the DLLS show. When you look at the team as it's constructed, and we heard this from Nico, it's a short window, but we're also doing this for long range as well. Knowing that Cooper Flagg is going to be selected at number one, do you feel positive that this iteration of the team is going to win, or is Anthony Davis going to be long gone and same for Kyrie?
That's the big question. How quickly can they get this to gel together? Because Kyrie Irving, who's most likely going to miss half the season, if not more, as he comes back from that torn ACL. The questions have always been with Anthony Davis, can he stay healthy long enough to help a team, you know, make a deep playoff run? Of course, won the title with the Lakers back in 2020, you know, played 76 games, you know, a couple of years ago with Los Angeles, but obviously he missed 6 weeks, you know, with a significant injury before returning to end the season. And obviously the window that Nico Harrison has talked about, you know, being a 2 to 3, you know, window, year window to try to win a championship. He's trying to get one before he eventually leaves the job and goes off to do other things. So it's going to be very tricky, because trying to play two timelines at the NBA usually doesn't work. So if the Mavericks are committed to continuing to try to win now, they've got to get healthy as quickly as they can, because they need some more playmaking to be able to stem the tide until Kyrie comes back. But they're going to try their best to win with what they have, because they believe that their window is right now to do that, given the roster that they have.
Well, Kevin, you talk about Nico. We don't know how long he's going to be sticking around. He's going to be making these decisions. He's had to be the face. We did hear from the owner, Patrick Dumont, who didn't necessarily evoke too much confidence in the fan base. But Nico has had to kind of stand up and talk. He's had to be the forward face on this. Is he feeling a little like he got a life raft thrown his way? Is he kind of arrogant about what took place last night? Are we still waiting to see?
Well, I talked to a source, you know, close to the situation, and, you know, Nico doesn't necessarily feel vindicated by the fact that the Mavericks won the lottery. You know, he still feels like there is still plenty of work to do, but this was a necessary step to move forward to try to get to ultimately where he believes this franchise should be, which is competing for a championship. And whether or not he's here, you know, 2-3 years down the road, all signs point to that he, at least in his mind, is committed to winning a championship in the way, in the vision that he believes it should be won, which is defense winning championships. And if they go on to, of course, let Cooper Flagg, you know, he's a two-way player that provides you versatility on the defensive end. You've got one of the best front courts, you know, and when healthy, with Derek Lively II and Anthony Davis and Daniel Gafford, and then you put Cooper Flagg into that, you've got a really formidable defense, and that gives you the chance to compete, you know, at the top of the Western Conference, Harrison feels like. So those decisions of how they supplement what is needed in terms of some scoring to go along with that defense is going to be one of the big challenges this offseason. But he feels like with the window he has and the players that he's going to have, this gives them the best chance to win now and however long he is staying in this job.
And Kevin Gray covers the Dallas Mavericks down in the Metroplex. When you think about what this team needs, we know that Kyrie Irving is going to be gone for a good portion of the season. Obviously, Cooper Flagg is going to be a rookie. Anthony Davis, God knows what he's going to do out there. What do you think this roster immediately needs to compete in the West next year? Is that reaching too far?
Well, immediately they need playmaking and ball handling. I mean, last year you saw how much of a toll it took on Kyrie Irving and the amount of load that he had to shoulder, you know, once Luka Doncic was traded, you know, once Anthony Davis went down with his injury, all the offensive responsibilities fell on Kyrie Irving's shoulders before ultimately he tore his ACL. Now they have, you know, a young guard in Brandon Williams who was able to step in and play nicely as things went on down the stretch, but he still gives you backup point guard vibe and not necessarily a starting guard at this point in his career. So for him, or excuse me, for the team, they've got to be able to find some playmaking, some shot creation, and guys that can go get their own shots and facilitate offense for Anthony Davis, for Derek Lively, and these bigs that they have. You know, they still got P.J. Washington there. They may explore trade scenarios with him this summer, given the fact that it's anticipated they draft Cooper Flagg. So you could potentially turn some of the strengths that you have in terms of the surplus you have at center, you know, with Gafford being there, and also, you know, at the power forward spot with a guy in P.J. Washington, and maybe you flip some of that into some guard play that can really help strengthen your roster, especially until Kyrie Irving comes back.
I'm sure you've seen a whole hell of a lot more of Cooper Flagg and learned more, just like everybody else has since the tournament, even more so up until now. What has impressed you the most about Cooper Flagg, and what excites you about what he's going to be able to bring to the Mavs?
I mean, the versatility that he has on both ends of the floor is incredible. I mean, last year as a freshman at Duke, he shot 38% from the three-point line, but he also gave you 1.5 steals and 1.5 blocks per game. You know, as well, he can guard multiple positions on the defensive end. He's a relentless competitor, and one of the things that, you know, I'm sure we'll get talked about more as we get closer to the draft night itself, this is a player that spent time with Team USA and was in preparations with them as they got ready for their Olympic run, and the conversations coming out of there was that he was, you know, one of the standouts going up against Anthony Davis, going up against Drew Holiday, and the best that the USA has to offer, and he really turned a lot of heads. And obviously, you saw him lead Duke to a Final Four appearance in his lone season there. So there's a competitive edge to him. There's an intensity to him that he is going to bring to this team. Obviously, he's still a rookie and will have some learning to do, but the team that he will be going to has a lot of veterans leading that team, and he'll be able to assimilate and learn from those guys. But the size and athleticism that he presents and the combination of the skills that he has is very rare for someone who's 18 years old and is just getting started in terms of his basketball journey. That has Mavericks fans quite excited about the potential of what Cooper Flagg is going to be.
I'm glad Dallas Mavericks fans are excited about something. Kevin, I'm not all that excited about Anthony Davis or Kyrie. I think by the time that Cooper Flagg is really coming into his own, they're going to have to reset things around him. I'm hoping that happens sooner than later, but this is the best case scenario given what we saw a few months ago. Ultimately, last question for you. For everybody who's saying, hey, it's rigged, it's not rigged, what do you say?
I say that the script writers were cooking, let's just say that, when it came to the NBA draft lottery. I mean, believe that it's rigged, and you say, Kevin, well, of course you would say that because your team won the NBA draft lottery. But there have been plenty of other situations where you could look at, especially 40 years ago with the New York Knicks, and say, you know what, the whole Patrick Ewing thing, that might have been rigged for sure. But at the same time, I don't believe that it was, given even the circumstance of how things played out. But again, to each their own when it comes to their conspiracy theory of choice in the NBA.
I hear that. I'm pretty sure we're going to blink. We'll have another conspiracy theory. I guess Adam Silver is controlling everybody and everything. Hey, Kevin, tell everybody where they could find, listen, watch you and everything DLLS.
Appreciate it, man. You can find me on X at Kevin Gray Sports. I am the pre and post game host for the DLLS Mavs podcast. I also host our daily podcast that we do for DLLS Mavs 5 times a week as part of DLLS Sports on the All City Network. But the quickest way you can find me on X is give me a follow at Kevin Gray Sports.
Hey, Kevin, thank you so much. It's good. See, we went from a negative to a positive, and now it's all good, okay?
That's right, Jay. I appreciate the time, man, as always. Thank you.
No doubt about it. That Kevin Gray Jr., you just heard him, covers all things Dallas Mavericks. Yeah, there is no other way. There are a lot of franchises. I could start naming them. Yeah, NBA, MLB. If you're the Sacramento Kings, wouldn't you like this type of a turnaround, like ASAP? If you've been suffering forever, like the Pittsburgh Pirates, wouldn't you like this type of turnaround? The Dallas Mavericks were holding a mock funeral for the GM just a few months ago, and now they end up with the number one overall pick. Like, to only snap your fingers and just go from a nightmare to a fairy tale. Like, man, if everybody would only be so lucky. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Cooper Flagg, yeah, he's going from college to the pros. I want to talk about an old man who, well, he went from the pros. I guess he found his girlfriend in college. Anyway, Bill Belichick has some thoughts today. Well, he was asked about his girlfriend. What else is new? This time it was supposed to be about football. We'll hear from Bill Belichick. I'll get to your calls as well. You can hit me up, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. But right now, let's get caught up to speed with everything going on in the world of sports. It's time for a news flash. It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, thank you oh so much to our guest on the last break, Kevin Gray Jr., for coming by to talk about the Dallas Mavericks and the fact that they lucked out. They weren't gifted anything. They lucked out with the opportunity to draft Cooper Flagg. Good for them. Good for the Dallas Mavericks fans. I'm just not happy for Nico Harrison because he gets an undeserved break. But I guess it's not about him. It's about the fans. Okay, I concede. Right now, the Indiana Pacers, they are fighting hard to get the Cavaliers the hell up on out of here. They've inched closer right now. Cleveland leads 62-64. Is about there's 7 minutes to go here in the third quarter. We're going to have a close one all the way through. We'll keep you up to date. We'll see if these Pacers can knock off the Cavaliers and if the Cavaliers can stay alive. And an hour from now, a little more than an hour from now, we have another matchup between Denver and OKC. Basically, these two teams are tied up at two games apiece. So whoever takes the lead here will be in pole position. So we'll keep you up to date on everything as it continues on. This is a good opportunity right now, this minute, this second, to let you know about the Navy Federal Credit Union Defensive Player of the Week. Sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, proudly celebrating all who go above and beyond during Military Appreciation Month. You can learn more at NavyFederal.org/celebrate. Our members are the mission. And this player, well, he's a player in a different regard. The Defensive Player of the Week is someone familiar with the Navy. His name is Bill Belichick, okay? Bill Belichick has been on the defensive now for what, weeks? I think he was on the defensive before that interview even happened on CBS. And so today, in interesting terms, this is not CBS Sunday mornings. Bill Belichick was having a chat with ESPN. He was attending the ACC spring meetings. But that just still sounds odd to say. Bill Belichick, ACC spring meeting? What? I think about the name Bill Belichick, I'm thinking about combine, OTAs, NFL draft, mini camp. I'm thinking about some guy grumbling along, not sitting down at the ACC spring meetings, but maybe he's exactly where he wants to be amongst younger people, apparently. And so Bill Belichick, of course, all things football, all things UNC, ESPN had to slip in a question today about his relationship and some of these rumors about how his girlfriend has been banned from the facility and she's controlling his life and she's involved in football and all of the things. Bill Belichick had a response, and let's just say he's very well aware of what's going on, and he correctly steered the conversation back to football. Listen to this. This is Bill Belichick earlier today on ESPN.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, really off to the side. It's a personal relationship, and she doesn't have anything to do with UNC football. I'm excited to be back in the coaches' meetings and getting ready for, you know, June and then August when we get to training camp. So June will be a big recruiting month for us, and then August we'll start getting ready for the season.
Oh, it's off to the side? How much of it is really off to the side? When the university has to, like, put out a statement about how she's not banned. She's only handling Bill Belichick's personal issues, but she's welcome here anytime. That doesn't sound off to the side to me. I mean, didn't we see an entire email that was released and from Bill Belichick and not supposed to be public, but certainly wasn't redacted, retracted, or said otherwise from anybody. It was pretty much, hey, and CC her on every email going on. That doesn't just sound like a matter of personal business. That sounds like a matter of professional business. But why would Bill Belichick, why would he fan the flames even more? Like, at this point, you have to play stupid. At this point, you have to play dumb. Because she has become such a distraction that even they're asking about her on ESPN to Bill Belichick. Couldn't ask Bill Belichick about three plays ago in the game that they won or lost. He's on to the next team. He's on to the next game. But Bill Belichick is out here playing the game.
Did you see what Pablo Torre said on the Dan Le Batard show?
As of when?
Yesterday.
I've heard a lot of things. Which one is this?
So Torre went on because he recently did like a whole investigation into Belichick and Hudson. He said that the family of Bill Belichick is actually worried about blackmail here, because if you remember that Ring camera doorbell footage of Bill,
yeah, no shirt,
shirtless on the porch, that was Jordan Hudson's house. So who got her Ring camera footage besides her?
Yeah, we've actually talked about that here on the show. About, you know, why would any of this be out? I mean, she's 23 years old, 24 years old. And we've heard the stories about buying and purchasing real estate and how much she's accumulated. Not a surprise. I mean, people get taken for rides all the time. And, you know, what happens in Bill Belichick's personal life is his. I personally find it creepy for a 70-year-old man to be dating someone who just got out of college. I would assume he met her while she was still in college, given the timelines that we've received. I just hope, as of the reports from Pablo from last week, this isn't killing the guy's legacy. Like, people remember what's in front of them. They remember what's being told to them right now. Hopefully this is a blip in regards to Bill Belichick and things don't get worse. The worst that could happen is, they're not together. And it just stops and ends there. And then we get a full focus on football, and then it goes into the rear view. But as long as they do have a personal relationship, I'm sorry, this is not going anywhere. What, is she going to sit up in a suite at the UNC games? She's certainly not going to be on the sidelines. That would cause a lot more. Like, how many more emails? Or as you said, Chris, how many more, pieces of footage are we going to receive? I don't know. Bill Belichick has been around. He's all been football his whole life. And the guy got kids. Guy had a girlfriend for the better part that I can recall. 15 to 20 years it felt like he was with that other woman, who apparently to me was a little bit more age appropriate. Things could get bad for Bill. I think he's going to show up. He'll coach for UNC later on this year. His buyout lowers starting on June 1st. I think Belichick is, I hope he turns the page, and I hope this woman gets pushed a little bit more in the background. But apparently that's not what she wants. And you can tell, if she didn't want to be in no stupid Dunkin' Donuts commercial, ain't nobody forcing her. If she don't want to be sending out emails and publicizing and tweeting and going on Instagram doing yoga with Bill Belichick, she wouldn't. I just hope that Bill Belichick, who is no idiot, I hope he's not getting taken for a ride. You know what they say? Well, I gotta be careful about my words that I choose here on the air. Let's just hope that Bill Belichick is, let's just hope that he's using his head. Let's hope he's using his head. He's a very smart man. I hope he's using his head to coach football. And good luck to Bill Belichick. What a situation he's in right now. Right now, you talk about a situation. The Cleveland Cavaliers are in a space where they could be eliminated tonight. This minute, this second, the Pacers lead 67-64. They've bounced back into this game. Tyrese Halliburton has certainly had his ups and downs here throughout the course of this series. Sometimes I worry about what his wrist looks like, but then we can all look back and see what he did pretty much sending the Milwaukee Bucks home. So who knows how much more he has. As of the last time I looked, Tyrese Halliburton had 20 points in this game and was lighting it up from deep. As it stands right now, Tyrese Halliburton, 20 points, 6 of 9 from downtown. If he's going to continue on a heater like this, he might be sending another team home. We'll see. We'll keep you up to date on Cavaliers Pacers as we continue on here with the show. It's the JR Sport Re Show on the Infinity Sports Network, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We are going to take a break. And when we come back on the other side, there's been so much that took place today in the world of sports. We learned about Jason Tatum officially with that ruptured Achilles. He's out indefinitely. Of course, that's going to take him into next season. We learned about Pete Rose. We heard about Trey Hendrickson. He ain't showing up to work for Cincinnati unless he gets a brand new deal. And we talked about the Mavs. We had some amazing guests on. And then, of course, at the end of the show, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. There's a lot to get into, a lot to do. You're locked in. You're tuned in to the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.